Most of us know what it feels like to run out of power, wouldn't you say? You know, a phone that blinks on 1%, a car that's rolling into the gas station on fumes, and yes, our laptop that slows down, freezes, and finally shuts off right before we need it the most, right? We all know what it's like. When power runs low, everything becomes harder. Decisions feel more urgent. Anxiety begins to rise. And we start thinking less about where we're going and more about just surviving in the moment. Ever been there? Ever been there? I think we all have. You know, as you know, many of us as Christians, many good, sincere, committed Christians are living exactly like that spiritually. Think about that for a moment. You know, we believe in Jesus. We love the church. We want to follow faithfully, but deep down inside, we're tired. Prayers feel thin. Courage runs out quickly, and joy flickers instead of burning brightly. And without always realizing it, we try to live the Christian life more on willpower than on God's power. And so we try harder, we push more, and we add guilt where grace is needed. Anybody feel that way from time to time? Yeah. And then we wonder, is this really how it's supposed to feel as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus? We wonder that. Why do we feel this way? Well, on the night before the cross, Jesus spoke to his disciples who felt exactly like you and I do. And they were anxious. They were confused. They were about to face rejection. They were going to face loss and fear on a level they had never known. We've been talking about that over the last number of times we've been together and in John's gospel. And Jesus knew what they were facing. And he doesn't give them, his disciples, a self-improvement plan. He doesn't say to them, you know, you got to dig deeper. You got to be stronger. And you got to try harder. What did Jesus say to them? You know, as they were going from the Passover feast to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they stopped and they had that beautiful lesson on the vine and the branches, what did he say to them? He said to them, all you have to do is yield. Remain. Experience my presence and be who you've been called and commanded to be. And guess what? This is the next part of the story. I'm going to give you something. Oh, not just something, but I'm going to give you someone. I'm going to give you a person to be with you forever. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so Jesus gave them the Spirit. He talked to them. You know, as he's concluded this object lesson in the vineyard there, and before they headed off to the garden, he now just gives them this reassurance in the middle of all their fears, in the middle of all their concerns, in the middle of all their confusion. He reminds them that they will not be alone. And then he tells them a little bit about the advocate, the counselor, the Holy Spirit that he's going to send them to give them. And Jesus says this. He says, when the Spirit comes, when the Spirit or the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. You know, consider that statement that Jesus just made there about the advocate, the Holy Spirit. You know, this sentence alone reshapes how we understand our life in the Spirit, how the Spirit works. I'm just going to go back here for a moment, you know, because the Spirit, he says, is going to make known something powerful about Jesus. He says the Holy Spirit is not just an abstract force. The Holy Spirit is not just some kind of spiritual energy out there. You know, the Holy Spirit is not just a mood or a moment. You know, there are a lot of ideas about what the Spirit of God is, but that's not what Jesus is telling them here about the Holy Spirit. He says that the Holy Spirit is the advocate. Your advocate, your paraclete, the one who is the helper, the counselor, the one who comes alongside. And he is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, not confusion, not manipulation, not hype. The Spirit of God, his central work is very clear here by what Jesus says. He says, he will testify about me. He will testify about me. He will make Jesus known. That's his mission. That's the mission of the Holy Spirit, is to make Jesus known to us. To continually reveal the presence of Jesus to us in our lives. Moment by moment by moment. See, Jesus says, I'm going to send you an advocate, but that advocate is not going to take center stage. That advocate is going to be like, well, like a spotlight. Spotlight. Think about a spotlight. What does a spotlight do in a darkened theater? When the spotlight is working properly, you don't walk out of the theater talking about how impressive the light was. What you do is you talk about the person that light revealed. The spotlight exists to make someone else visible. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says. He will testify about me. He will testify. He will, when the Spirit is at work, Jesus becomes clearer. His words make sense. His grace feels real. And his call becomes compelling. See, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is why Spirit-filled living is not about being really flashy, okay? It's Jesus-centered living. When our lives are centered in Jesus, when we are yielding to the work of the gardener in our life, when we're remaining in the vine, when we are experiencing that friendship with Jesus, what it means to be a friend with Jesus, what that intimacy with Jesus, when we are being who he has called us to be as his witnesses, as those who are his loving witnesses in the world. When we are reflecting the light of Jesus back to everybody else, that's when the Holy Spirit is doing his greatest work. If Jesus is becoming more precious, more trusted, more obeyed, then the Holy Spirit is doing his work in us. See, this is what Jesus was trying to embed within the disciples right there as they're so fearful, they're so concerned about what's going to happen next. And Jesus just comes and he says, you know what? The Holy Spirit will make me known to you on an ongoing basis. You will know my presence because of the work of the Spirit. And not only that, but the Spirit will empower your witness. Your witness. You know, Jesus, it doesn't stop there when, you know, by saying that the Holy Spirit will testify to me. He goes on and he says, and you also must testify. See, this is where we, you know, some of us, you know, the Spirit's here, he's saying, is not going to replace our witness. It's not just the Spirit of God who testifies to about Jesus. Yeah, he does in our hearts. And he starts to work in other people's hearts and draws people to Jesus. But there's another part to this, and that's you and I. This is what he was trying to get across to the disciples as well, because the Spirit doesn't replace our witness. The Spirit empowers our witness. You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. My witnesses. Holy Spirit empowered witness for Jesus. You know, but truthfully, you know, some of us hesitate here, right? We think witnessing means having all of the answers or using all the right words all the time or never feeling nervous about sharing our faith with other people. But Jesus doesn't say here you need to be impressive. You know, you need to impress people with your knowledge of the Bible. No, what he says here is, you must testify. You must testify in the power of my Spirit. Just, you must open your mouth and witness for me. You know, and here's the thing about being a witness. Being a witness is really just sharing your faith story with someone else. You know, a witness doesn't create the story. A witness simply tells what they've heard. What they've heard. What they've seen. What they've experienced in their life of faith. And, you know, Christian testimony isn't about religious performance. It's about honest faithfulness. It's about saying, here's what I know of Jesus. Here's what he's done in me. And here's how he's still teaching me. See, this is the simplicity of being able to share our story with other people. And the neat thing about it, as Jesus is saying here, is that as we speak, the Spirit works in ways that we cannot see. Just think back over this last year here in this church. What we have seen God doing in the lives of people who have come from faraway places, who have had no understanding of the gospel of Jesus before, and they've come into our fellowship, come into this church. And it's not just in our church. This is happening across a lot of other churches in this city right now. You know, I talk with a lot of other pastors and lead pastors, and in every one of their churches, there are people just like our friends who have come over this last year. There are just like them who have come in, and the Spirit of God has done the work in their lives. And it's all because people like you have shared with them your story of faith. Your story of faith. You know, the church speaks externally. See, that's what we do as the fellowship of the body of Christ. We speak externally what the Spirit confirms internally. You know, we speak out what God puts in. And we speak from the power that God has put into us by his Holy Spirit. And that becomes the Word and the Spirit working together to see people's lives touched, moved, inspired, transformed by Jesus. And you know, this is what Jesus was seeking to get across to his disciples. You don't have to force outcomes. You don't have to win arguments. You don't have to manipulate emotions. All we're called to do is to be faithful, and the Spirit will do the rest. The Spirit is the one who's responsible for the fruitfulness. Yield, remain, experience, be. Be the people that God has called us to be. And Jesus says, the Spirit of God will create the fruit. The fruitfulness of your ministry. You know, coming to this understanding of the work of the witness and the work of the Holy Spirit it takes the pressure off of us to perform. But it puts the confidence where it belongs, not in us, but in God's presence in us. Gives us the courage, gives us the confidence, the strength to be able to be the witnesses he's called us to be, and to be able to stand up in the face of opposition. Face of opposition. You know, Jesus prepares us for opposition. He prepared his disciples in this passage that we're looking at today. You know, Jesus says something sobering but deeply pastoral to his disciples. Next, he says, all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. You'll not get overwhelmed by the changing dynamics that are going to take place in the next few weeks, in the next few hours, in the next few weeks, the next few months ahead for us. You know, you'll not get overwhelmed when you face opposition. And so Jesus speaks honorably, honestly about opposition. He says, some will exclude you. Some will misunderstand you. Some will resist you and resist the truth. But Jesus says, I tell you this ahead of time so that you'll not be frightened and that you might be steady. Steady. You might be able to have, you know, a more steady outlook on what is to come. Your feet can be on the rock. On the rock of Jesus. You know, one of the things that we need to be reminded about opposition is this. Opposition does not mean that God has failed us. Opposition does not mean that you're on the wrong path. Opposition does not mean that Jesus has abandoned us. You know, and when I'm talking about opposition, you know, that opposition can be, you know, verbal opposition from other people out in our community. Or it could be, you know, some roadblocks that we come up against, you know, financially. Opposition can come at us in all kinds of different ways. And opposition doesn't mean that God has failed. Just because we're facing opposition or hardships or struggles or challenges. What it means is that sometimes it means that we are being faithful. Faithful to who God has called us to be. And in being faithful, we face opposition. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples. In just a little while, guys, it's the heat's going to get turned up. The opposition is going to come. And know that it requires faithfulness. Faithfulness. And remember this. Remember this. You know, surprise fuels panic, but preparation fuels endurance. So when faith costs you something, or actually, you know, Jesus was just warning them, like a weather alert, you know. A weather alert doesn't cause the storm, but it prepares you for it. And Jesus is saying here, when the storm comes, don't be surprised and remember this. I gave you a warning. I gave you a warning. Remember this. I told you it was coming. The storm was coming. So when faith, he says, so when we can come and understand that faith, when faith costs us something, when obedience makes life harder, when following Jesus feels lonely, what do we got to remember? We remember that he told us this would happen. He told us, he warns us that we are going to face difficult times, struggles, challenges, opposition, and be faithful. Because I told you in advance. So instead of falling away, what does he say? Stand firm. Plant your feet on the rock of your salvation and know that I am with you and I have provided my Spirit to guide you through these times of opposition. And my Spirit will comfort you through the mission that I am fulfilling. You know, the disciples, they were full of fear and they were grieving. That as soon as that Jesus had told them that he was going to be going away and that, you know, they didn't know where he was going to be going and all those kinds, that they were grieving. And Jesus acknowledged their grief. And he said to them, because I have said this to you, you are filled with grief. Jesus recognized that they were in a tough spot. And he doesn't shame them for their sadness. He doesn't minimize their fear. But what he does is he speaks into that fear. He speaks into that time of grief. He speaks and his presence is felt when he says this. And it's actually a really surprising truth. One of the most surprising truths in all the scriptures, really. When he says, "It is good for you that I'm going away." It's good for you. Now, think about that for a moment. You know, that raises a question for me. I don't know if it raises a question for you when you read something like that from Jesus. You know, I know you're filled with grief, but it's good for you that I'm going to be going away. When is it ever good that we're going to lose Jesus, or that we're going to, that, you know, in their minds, how can it be good to be losing your presence with me, Jesus? Think about that for a moment. How could losing Jesus be good in that moment right there? Well, it was because he would complete his saving work. It would be that his cross would defeat sin. His resurrection would conquer death. And his ascension into heaven would make the way for the Holy Spirit to be released into the world. How could losing Jesus be good? Well, Jesus' physical presence with a few would become his spiritual presence in all of us. In all of us. That's why Jesus had to fulfill his mission. The Spirit would bring the help of Jesus to every believer, everywhere, all the time. See, that's the work of the Spirit, is he brings the presence of Jesus to us and reveals to us who Jesus is and keeps revealing to us who Jesus is in our lives. You know, what feels like a loss is actually gain. And you know, some of us need to be reminded of that today. Some of us really need to be reminded of that. Because we go through seasons of grief, seasons of grieving. You know, it could be because of the loss of a family member. It could be the loss of a friend. We grieve. Jesus is there. His presence is with us because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It could be that a door has closed. Oh, we just haven't been able to find that work that we so desperately need to support our family. God's presence is real, even in that time, because the Holy Spirit is at work, reminding us of the presence of Jesus. And you know, it might be that, you know, changes are taking place in our lives. We're going through a season of change, a change that we really don't want to see or experience. You know, when you get to that magic age, when the government sends you those little letters that say, you know, this next year you're going to be eligible for the next, you know, installment of our social assistance programs. You know, a change coming. Sometimes it's hard. But Jesus reminds his disciples that because of what he came to do, his presence is here with us. Because he has gone to be back with the Father, he has poured out his Spirit into our lives to meet us right where we're at, whatever season we're at in our life, wherever we're facing grief, wherever we're facing change. And the Spirit is present, reminding us of the presence of Jesus. And always remember that God, through his Spirit, is always doing something deeper than we can yet see. We can't always see it, but the Spirit is doing his work. Jesus says, when he comes, he says, when Jesus says, you know, another work of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world. Not only to remind us of his presence, God's presence, Jesus' presence, but it's to convict the world. Jesus speaks about one of the Spirit's most misunderstood works, and that's of conviction. Conviction. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Oh, you know, my thought just came to me right now. Don't we need this work of the Holy Spirit a lot more right now in this world that we're in? The conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's important for us to understand that conviction is not condemnation. You know, sometimes we can get those two words mixed up. Conviction and condemnation. You know, condemnation says, you're hopeless. You're not cutting it. You're not meeting all of my expectations. That's condemnation. But conviction, you know, Holy Spirit conviction is and says, you need help. You need help, and help is available. You know, conviction is like a warning light on your dashboard. It's not there to shame you. It's there to tell you something is wrong before greater damage is done. This is what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is all about. The Spirit, says Jesus, convicts about sin, our refusal to trust Jesus, our refusal to believe Jesus. And, you know, that's what the world needs to be convicted about that right now, about their lack of trust in Jesus. But it also convicts us about righteousness. The false standards that pretend we don't need grace. You know, sometimes we have all these standards, these things that we think are the things that are going to get us over the line. But you know what? Most often we need grace rather than judgment. You know, there's self-righteousness can be tied up into all of that. But also, he says, the Spirit convicts us about judgment, the lie that evil is winning. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed by the fact that evil is abounding everywhere, and that repressive regimes go on and on and on and on and on, and things get more difficult politically and all that, and all these turmoils around the world, and that evil is just going to continue to go on. But that is not the case. Evil is not winning. God is still on the throne, and his will prevail in heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's the work of the Spirit. And notice that, that this conviction is the Spirit's job and it's not ours. Especially as we look at witnessing out into the community. Our role is not to coerce people's hearts. Our role is not to pressure decisions. Our role is to speak truth with love. And that's what we've been doing as a congregation over the last couple of years. That's why people are coming to know Jesus through your witness. You know, the Spirit does the unseen work, drawing people to Jesus. And that frees us up to be able to witness gently, confidently, and faithfully to whoever God brings across our path. It's the work of the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit. And finally, Jesus says, the Spirit guides believers into truth. He speaks here tenderly about growth. He says, I have much more that I want to say to you, but more than you can bear right now. More than you. Have you ever felt that? Oh, you know what? I'm just not, I'm there and I'm growing, but I just haven't got quite there yet. There's so much more that I want to learn and understand and grow. And you know what? Jesus understood that with his disciples too. He understood that, and it shows that God is patient. The statement that Jesus makes here says that God is patient with us. He doesn't overwhelm us. He doesn't rush maturity. He guides us step by step by step, and that's the work of the Spirit in our lives. The Spirit leads believers into truth. Not just knowledge, but obedience-shaped truth. Step by step by step. And notice how that comes about. Notice that it is through the work of the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us along the way that we grow in our faith. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And from the Father to me, I have made known now to you, and the Spirit of God will remind you of all those things that I have said to you. And not only the things I've said to you, but the things that are going to be coming. I will make these things known through my Spirit to you. You know, the Spirit-filled life is not one that draws attention to itself. It is one that points again and again and again back to Jesus. And that's the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is not the one that takes front and center, but the Spirit always points back to Jesus. And that's what the Spirit does in our life as well. Always points us back to Jesus. It's kind of like a GPS. You know, the Spirit is like a GPS. The GPS doesn't just tell you where you are. It also guides you to where you're going. And if you take a wrong turn, or if you go past your destination, what does it do? Recalculating, redirecting, and then it brings you back onto a path that gets you to where you're going. See, this is what the Holy Spirit's work is in our life, as the Spirit guides us into truth. The Spirit does the same, like a GPS. He guides, he corrects, he redirects, and he keeps pointing us back to Jesus. Back to Jesus. The Spirit is the one. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit as our resource. And so what does it all mean for us today? What does it mean? What does all this mean? You know, some of us have been living self-powered lives instead of Spirit-empowered living. We've been relying on discipline without dependence. We've been relying on knowledge without surrender. We've been putting in effort without prayer. And Jesus, what does Jesus say? He invites us. He invites us into something better. Something better. You know, for some, the next step is yielding. Yielding and letting go of our need to kind of control the outcomes of our life. Yielding to the work of his Spirit, his guidance. Still, for some others, it's being a witness, bearing witness with truth. Opening up your mouth, opening up our mouths and letting other people know about Jesus. And still for others, it's believing. It's actually believing in Jesus. It's making that decision today to say, I am going to follow Jesus from here on. Responding to the testimony of the Spirit about Jesus. You know, regardless of where you are right now, just remember this, is that Jesus has not left us alone, wherever we are on our journey with him. He's not left us alone. He's given us his Spirit. And his Spirit makes him known to us. His Spirit strengthens our witness. His Spirit steadies us in face of opposition. His Spirit convicts us with grace. And he guides us into a deeper understanding of God's truth, the truth about who you are in here and who God is. And how you and God connect with each other. So, you know, the bottom line to the message today is that we don't have to live on spiritual fumes anymore. We can live not from willpower, but from God's power. Because the Spirit-filled living is not about us shining brighter and doing more and pushing to the limits and all the expectations that we have on ourselves. No, it is all about Jesus being seen more and more clearly by us, in us, and through us in the world. How is Jesus being formed in you by God's Holy Spirit? See, that's the bottom line today. And that's life beyond willpower. That's tapping into God's power at work in you, through the work and the witness of his Spirit. So as we close our time together today in God's Word, let's just take a moment. I'd like you to just take a moment to sit quietly today. I'm not going to ask you to turn to someone and talk with them today. I just want you to just reflect today for a moment and quietly pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, where are you convicting me today? Where are you guiding me today? And how do you want Jesus to be glorified in me today? Take a few moments just to quietly pray, seeking the guidance of God's Spirit this morning.